Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
One reason, not because it's not only because we just want to see each other and we want to be around each other, catch up. Lord, we're here because you're here, and we want to be where you are because we know who you are. We know you are the God that will never leave his people. You will never forsake us. God, we know who you are, and that is such a thing to celebrate, to bow down before you, to worship you, to give you praise, for you alone deserve it. Lord, we sing our creeds about the things we believe. So to remind ourselves and just point ourselves back to worshiping you. And now, Lord, as we go into your word, we pray the same thing will happen, that our hearts will be turned to you, that our minds will be fixated on you. And Lord, we would leave that much more worshipful, knowing who you are. That's the root of it all. Knowing who you are and what you've done. That's the gospel. We're so thankful to be here together celebrating those things today. So, Lord, would you speak to us now as we go into your word and hear that? Speak powerfully, Lord, that hearts would be transformed in powerful ways and that we would all leave changed. None of us leaving how we first came. So it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you so much, band, for leading us in that powerful worship. I appreciate it. If you've been here, if you were here last week, we started a series, a short series, on the topic of worship. I said because really a couple things. One, that is the theme of the Bible, is God revealing himself to humanity and humanity responding appropriately to that revelation. And the only appropriate response to the revealed creator of all is one, and that's worship. Worship. And so that's really the theme of the Bible in a nutshell. But also because we're looking for a youth pastor, worship pastor, and as we're looking for that individual, it's good to just recalibrate ourselves and know what is worship as he's coming in. And so that's what we're doing, a three-week mini-series on the topic before we jump into what will be a little bit of a hike, just like Colossians was, going through the book of Exodus. And I don't know how many weeks exactly, but each week will be a different way we can see Christ foreshadowed in the book. It's really incredible. Nearly every page, you can just see Christ everywhere. Reminds us of the gospel and what he did for us. But I can't start preaching on that. Let's talk about worship, okay? Get myself all riled up about it. Last week, we talked about personal worship because that's really where it begins. It starts with you individually responding. You have something in your mind, you hear this word about who God is, you respond with your heart, and then you respond from that with your hands. We talked about personal worship. And now I want to make that next step. From personal worship, we are going to talk about corporate worship, because personal worship really feeds into community worship. Multiple worshipers coming together to worship in unity. Next week, we'll talk about how our corporate worship, we'll take the next step and say how that foreshadows our heavenly, eternal worship. All nations, all tongues, all people groups gathering together in large corporate worship for all of eternity. That's next week. This week I want to talk about corporate worship on this side of heaven. Firstly, why is corporate worship in the physical gathering right here, you and me, not talking online, no such thing as online church, but corporate worship together? Why is it important? Well, foundationally, just very basically, minimally, it's commanded in Scripture to gather together. And so that is enough, right? That is enough to say, okay, we will be a people that gather together and exalt your name for that reason alone. But it's only uphill from there. We have so many other reasons. And today, not only are we commanded to gather, but I want to talk about how, guys, it is good and beneficial for you, for your heart, for your soul, to be in this gathering is not only commanded, that's foundationally, but it is good for you. You have good reason. Your heart needs the corporate gathering. 1 Corinthians 14 says, and then it builds us up. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 says, when you come together, each one has a hymn, just sung, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. But let all of these things, whatever it is that you got to gather together and you start doing all these things, what is it all there for? To build up. And actually, if you go through 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 through 14, this phrase build up is mentioned, I don't even know how many times, 5, 6, 7 times. The corporate gathering is not only commanded, guys, it builds us up. So we need it. It's good for us. It's beneficial. I think about taking a Sabbath, and I hope and pray that you do, that you value that, and you see how God and His good plan for you made the importance of a Sabbath and just taking time to rest in Him. And I know sometimes, especially if you can sympathize, the workaholic in me, I always want to take that call. I just want to kind of jump start on my week. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, I'm not the only one here. But whenever I push back, and my wife helps me push back on that a little bit, the work will be there tomorrow, you're fine. And I'm always kind of itching at it at first. I'm like, but it's ringing, I have to, you know. But then whenever the next day comes and I start that work, I don't feel exhausted. I don't feel like I didn't get any rest. And it's when that next day comes that I realize I'm so thankful that I had it. I so needed it. I'm really, really happy that I did take that rest. And so that's Sabbath in general, but more specifically, that's what the corporate gathering is supposed to do for you and for me. Maybe you're like, oh, it's just so early. I had a long night last night. Next week I can show up. And I know you can feel that way. It's just like, oh, the phone's ringing. I have to answer it. But when you go, and then you come back saying, man, I'm so thankful I did. I needed that. That's what the corporate gathering, that's what this is supposed to be for me and you. It's meant to build us up that we would say, I am so glad that I prioritized that. And I did it. I'm so glad. So how, this is the time now that we have left, how does the physical gathering with one another to worship our Lord and Savior, how does that build us up personally? How does it enhance our personal worship, so to speak? How does it build us up, like 1 Corinthians 14 says? Well, two ways. One's going to be a little bit longer than the other, you'll notice. Firstly, worshiping with others will encourage your heart. It will. It will encourage your heart. It should encourage your heart and strengthen it. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, okay, and I'm going to be bouncing around, topical study, trying to look at all the scripture. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. This is a command from Scripture to let the Word of Christ dwell in us in multiple ways, through the singing and through the lesson and through the building up of one another, admonishing and correcting. Those are all the different ways that we can let the Word of Christ dwell in us. Do you see that? There's two parts really to this little command. Firstly, he says, let the Word of Christ just saturate you. Would you just dwell in it? Would you let it dwell in you? Let yourself just marinate, I think is a good and just an idea of it. Just marinate in the Word of God. Whether it be through the songs that you're singing, the lesson that you're hearing, the admonishment or correction is another word there, of one another as you direct each other and how you are to live. Let all of that just be Scripture-based. And I think when you do that, the next part comes naturally with thankfulness in your hearts to God. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. So really, I think what if we're looking at this whole passage then together as a whole, both parts there, what does it teach us? Well, I think being in a Bible-centered community, when you dwell richly in the Word of Christ. Being a Bible-centered community really should also mean that you will be in a joyful, thankful community. And so that's what we're going to do. That's what we are doing. Here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, me and you, we must let Scripture dwell in everything that we do. When we gather together, that's what we're going to do. We're going to let Scripture dwell. Scripture-driven teachings from the pulpit. I don't want to just do life coaching. You definitely don't want to just hear Isaac's opinions. We're going to let Scripture dwell through the teaching, right? Scripture-driven teachings from the pulpit. Scripture-guided correction to one another. We're not going to just sit here silently as the body of Christ judging one another across the room. That's not what we're doing. That's not what you're to do. Say nothing to one another, but sit across the room with that ugly eye at somebody, silently judging. No. We will lovingly and driven through Scripture admonish and correct one another when necessary. Lovingly do so. Scripture driven. Not just the teachings, but the admonishment to one another. Scripture-based songs to sing. We're not just singing the Jesus is my boyfriend songs, right? You know what I'm talking about. No, Scripture-driven, rich theology and songs. So that your heart, my heart, will gravitate naturally, when all that happens, towards thankfulness. We're not going to just be bored with the teaching. I hope and pray you aren't. I know my son's sleeping, but I think he's the only one that's got a pass sleeping during the sermon. When it's Scripture-driven and the Word of God is speaking to you and I, we won't be bored in hearing the teaching, but no, our hearts are going to be filled with thankfulness, hearing the message of the gospel that sinners are saved and forgiven by grace. You and I can have union with the perfect and holy God for all of eternity. You and I just will gravitate towards thankfulness when we hear such promises. We won't just be discouraged when someone comes and corrects us, points out a sin in our life, admonishing us. We're not going to find ourselves with discouraged hearts, but no, when we do it right and we lovingly admonish one another, we're going to find ourselves with thankful hearts. You're like, wait, I just got corrected. How is thankfulness going to be my immediate response? When you find others love you enough to point you away from sin and towards God in the most loving of manners, motivated by concern for you, you're going to feel loved, cared for, supported, seen. Admonishment can lead to thankfulness. Look at Colossians chapter 3. So as we're driven by Scripture in the pulpit, man, we're going to have thankful hearts as the people of God. And when we're admonished and corrected by one another, done in a good way, we're going to have thankful hearts that we have one another to walk through life with. We're not going to find ourselves annoyed singing certain songs or parts of songs. No, we're going to have thankful hearts declaring gospel truths, things that we believe rooted in the melodies that will remind us of it all throughout the week. We say, man, I'm so thankful for this, what I have here. But let me give you an honest word of warning. Okay, you ready? You should still expect to sing songs you don't like. Okay? Even worse, you should still expect to hear teachings that you do not like, that don't feel good, or you disagree with. Expect those things, or you're going to be very disappointed, because they're going to happen. What a mess it would be if all of us picked the songs that we wanted sung on Sunday, or the teachings that I really would prefer to hear you talk about. I want you to expect things to happen that you're not crazy about, okay? And if that's you and you're like, yeah, amen, let me tell you, you should also know that it's not about what you prefer. And that's the loving admonishment that I have for you. It's not about what you prefer. It's not. You know what it's about? It's about what you need. What we need, you and I, we need. And what we need is gospel-saturated songs, teachings, and admonishment. Even when it's not our preference, it's what we need. And that's what it's really all about. And that's what guides this service. Your preferences and my preferences aren't just what guide this service. Our needs, what Scripture says we need, that's what guides it. Second scripture that I want to look at on this point still, how worshiping with one another has a good benefit for you, specifically to encourage your hearts. Second scripture I want to look at is Psalm 42. Let me read it real quick, and we'll go back through it in just a minute. This is a Psalm of David, and he says, "My tears have been my food both day and night." Maybe you can actually relate to this passage. You know what it's like to have your tears just feel like that's all you're eating lately. "My tears have been my food both day and night, while men ask me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" So now not only are you just brokenhearted, but everyone's seeing, yeah, we see it. Your life is rough. Like, where's your God at? Like, maybe, yeah, I know exactly what David was talking about here. And he says, these are the things come to mind as I pour out my soul. How I walked with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and praise. You know, going to church on Sunday morning is growing less and less popular. And I'm not just talking COVID, even outside of COVID, before COVID. Going to church for the American Christian has been on the decline. I don't know if you've noticed that or seen that, but it's a reality. In America, at least. It's growing less and less popular, going to church on Sunday morning. I saw a quote from a friend about my age on Facebook last week, so it's perfect timing. And this is what he posted. He said, "Grandparents will say, 'We used to attend 5 to 8 week revivals at church.' But then the next generation down, parents, they say, 'Well, we used to attend Sunday through Wednesday revivals at church.'" Our generation, "We used to attend church on Sundays and Wednesday nights." Our children, "We used to attend church." Our grandchildren, "Church?" I was like, oh man, I hope it's not a consistent trajectory of going to church being less and less common, but that is the trend that we see. COVID definitely didn't help with that, with a lot of people having good reason, legitimate reasons for their health safety to not go. But even before COVID, but now because of COVID, a lot of people that now probably could still don't. It's easier. Just wear that robe in the morning, sip your coffee on the couch. I've seen this quote, whatever he put on Facebook, I've seen that to actually be kind of the trajectory that we're moving. In pastoral ministry, I've seen this, I've talked with people, so many people saying, "I'm too busy though. I'm just too busy." Or I'm, you know, look, honestly, I'm good on my own. Seriously, like church is for some people, I really, personally, I'm a very driven personality. I do my Bible studies, I'm very serious about it. So I know a lot of people, they really need it, but like, I'm just a driven person. I really don't need it. I'm all good with the Bible study stuff. Or, this one's common. "Yeah, but it's on my one day off a week. It's my day to relax, Pastor." Maybe I'm pulling a heart thread because maybe you've said one or two of those things. Seen it so much where people would prioritize sports and activities and they begin to compete with and then most oftentimes win against Sunday worship gathering. Or people going on vacation, glorious thing, amen, amen, going on vacation. Okay, you're like, yeah, gonna make me feel guilty about it? No, I love vacation. But you know, something that Sarah and I really take seriously is whenever we go on vacation, one of the first things we look for is, where's a local church that we can worship with people in that area? Doesn't have to be our people, but man, I want to get in the gathering. Because it benefits my heart. It's not the first thing to go when I can get away. Man, I can finally get away from worshiping for Sunday. What? No, wherever I'm going, I'm finding people to worship with because I know my heart needs it. But man, it's a steady decline of people going to church on Sunday mornings. But you know how going to church on Sunday mornings is growing less and less popular? Let me tell you, going to church gatherings remains just as important. Even if it's on a decline and people going, it remains steadily just as important as ever before. Let's go back to Psalm 42. The psalmist is brokenhearted in life. We just read this, right? You know what I'm talking about. He's brokenhearted in life. His tears have been his food. And even the people around him are saying, yeah, you're right. Your life is rough. Where in the world is your God? It's hard for him. But in those times, you know what he's reminded of? He's reminded of the times where he would go to church. And we could elaborate saying the times where he spent at the altar, the time where he sat there hearing a teaching that lifted up his heart, the time where he heard other people say, hey, let me lovingly point something out in your life because I care about you. He was reminded of the times that he was singing songs that reminded him of the gospel. He was reminded of when he went to the house of the Lord leading with joyful shouts of praise. That's what got him through the times where tears were his food. When people were saying, where in the world is your God? It was the gathered church that encouraged his heart. So let me tell you, going to church is not, it's not, please hear this, please. This is what I need you to know. Going to Sunday morning service, it is not just an obligation. Man, it is a need. It is a benefit for your heart. It's not just an obligation that you begrudgingly should do. Let me tell you, your heart is begging for you to go be filled up in the gathered church. So let me encourage you, please, in love, don't be too busy. Don't think you're too busy. Don't think that you're good on your own. You're not. I'm not. None of us are. We were never built to be solo in our faith. You're not good on your own. Doesn't matter how driven you are. I'm not good on my own. We need each other. Our hearts need each other. Don't use your one day of relaxation just to sleep and watch Netflix because that doesn't revitalize your heart for the next day and the next week. You know what does this? Do not, please, don't use your one day off to relax but not get filled up. Please don't prioritize sports over gathering with others to worship. Don't teach your children inadvertently that sports are more important than their hearts getting filled up in a corporate gathering. Worshiping with others encourages your heart. You need it, and I need it. We need it, guys. We really do. Your heart needs what this service has to offer. Even if it's not what your heart always wants, it's what it needs. So the person who says, I just never get much out of it, you know? That's nice to hear that it's supposed to encourage my heart, but I don't get much out of it. I'm still down, still discouraged. Life's still hard. Can I just say, the problem isn't what's happening here. Because we know that God ordained these specific things to happen. He called us to sing. He called us to hear His word preached. He called us to take communion together. He called us to do the specific things that we are doing. He ordered our service structure. So that's just the elements of worship. Those, can I say, in love, those aren't the problem. If you're saying, I just don't get filled up. Really, the problem is my heart and your heart, they're deceptive things. Your heart is deceiving you to think that the problem is just the service, and so you just shouldn't go. Let me tell you, the The problem is your deceptive heart, my deceptive heart, that would tell us that the things that we are doing are not needed for your heart to be encouraged. They are. So that's the first benefit. I told you one's a little bit longer than the other. Worshiping with others is not just commanded. It is so important and beneficial because it encourages your heart. But secondly, it also motivates your hands. It encourages your heart and it motivates your hands to go out and live the life that Christ has called you to do. Hebrews 10, it's a common verse when it comes to corporate worship. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more, as you see the day drawing near. You see this? He says, we should not neglect gathering together. So he's saying, we should gather together. We need to gather together. We need to get together with one another. And a couple reasons why. The author of Hebrew just feels like he needs to tell us we need to gather together. Firstly, because it encourages us. Sounds familiar, right? It encourages your heart. But also, not only that, but it will stir us up to love and good works. It not only encourages your heart, but let me tell you, when you get in this room and you're with people on a weekly basis, it will motivate your hands to worship. Not just encourage your heart. So Christians, we need to be gathering together. I was talking to Ian, Kaylee, I don't know where he's at now, but I was like, hey, so I need to do a farm analogy, and I just need to make sure that I'm not just going to butcher it here. But I've seen in the safari videos, right, because those are kind of fun to see, like when the tiger attacks like the water buffalo, and you're like, oh man, he's going to get him, you know, and so I've watched those videos before. And what happens, though, oftentimes when the water buffalo is getting attacked, and it's laying there trying to get free, and then it's done for, until what happens? The other ones start to move in, you know, fight off the lion. And I was like, is that true with farming, too? And he's like, oh, man. When the kev or the calf, I would call it, but he called it a kev. I don't know what he was saying. But he's like, man, when I need to tag that kev, I got one, and I'm tagging him. That's whenever all the herd starts moving in and surrounding me. And he's like, it's instinct, right? It's instinct to the cattle to surround the one that seems to be in distress. So it is with the gathered people. We gather together because we are all in distress. We struggle with sin personally, but we kill our sin communally. You struggle with sin personally, but let me tell you, you will kill your sin communally. And you open up about your sin. You ask for accountability with your sin. You kill your sin right in here with the people in here. It encourages your heart and motivates your hands. So I want to summarize a little bit together now. I told you one was a little bit shorter, but I hope it speaks volumes to you. How important it is, how much you need to be here with the gathered people to worship. Gathering together is not just commanded. Man, it is commanded, but it's so much more than that. It is beneficial for your soul. Our hearts will be filled up with thankfulness through it. Your heart that is downcast at times, that is discouraged, that is frustrated, burnt out and exhausted, your heart will be filled up with thankfulness. Maybe not just in 1 week, maybe not in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but man, you invest into the community. When you pour in, when you dive deep, when you get involved, when you open up, let me tell you, in community, your heart will grow thankful that even in the midst of adversity, even if you are still eating your tears all the day long, you'll still be shouting for joy. That's the power of community. Don't rob yourself of that. Got off my notes for a second. It's important. It's beneficial. Your heart will be encouraged with thankfulness, and you will be stirred up to further holiness, to live holy lives, to love and to good works. That's what these people do in your life. So, Christian, I want to speak to you for just a moment. If you care about your personal worship, you must prioritize your community worship. It's that simple. It really is that simple. How you can do that? You can prioritize attending the church gathering. Don't miss it. Don't miss Sunday school. Don't miss Wednesday night. Be here. If you care about your personal worship, man, get involved in the communal worship. Prioritize attending and participate in every part of it. Guys that feel like you're too macho for singing, I encourage you to sing. You need it. Your heart needs it. Sing. Sing even if you're not a singer. Engage with a sermon even if you're tired or not interested. Engage in it because it will make your heart thankful. And in a few minutes when we take communion, Christian, as you think about what it symbolizes, that is going to make your heart thankful. Engage. Not only attend, but engage in it. I want to speak to the visitor, though, for just a second. If you are not a Christian today, let me tell you, this room, this gathering, has much benefit for you as well. It does. Coming to this gathering on Sunday is beneficial for you. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, I read it at the beginning of the sermon, and he talks about when what he would call an outsider, somebody who's not within the fold of God's people, but he comes and attends a service and observes. He says such a person will hear a revelation from God, and it will penetrate his heart like it's speaking directly to him, and he will fall on his knees and say, there is without a doubt a God who exists, and he will begin to worship him. 1 Corinthians 14. This service has a benefit for you, and maybe you don't even know that you need that benefit. So what I say to you is, I encourage you to come, gather with us every Sunday, observe. Observe the goodness of God in this room. Listen to the truths of his gospel described. Observe, listen. Observe our worship. Observe how thankful we are as the people of God. Observe our celebration. Observe our thankfulness. Observe our joy. And as you observe, I pray that it stirs your own heart to worship alongside us and to long for God in your own heart. There is benefit for you to come. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to worship God so that we would be encouraged by it. We're going to take communion. So I want to encourage the deacons, if you would just come forward at this time and begin preparing the elements.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.